So my name is Jason Beckman, and I'm a senior economist at the Economic Research Service.
All right, Jason. Well, you have done some webinars recently and coming up talking about understanding the EU farm-to-fork strategy. Can you go ahead and start by talking about what the EU farm-to-fork strategy is for those who don't know?
Sure. So the EU farm-to-fork strategy is part of their bigger Green Deal, which is basically their set of policies for environmental and sustainability concerns. The farm to fork, more specifically, deals with sustainability, and they talk about making sustainable production, sustainable consumption, you know, a lot of things related to sustainability in agricultural markets. So what they've done in this Green Deal is they talk about making a lot of changes to their agricultural systems. Some of these are a little more easier to understand what they want to do. They're more straightforward to put into a model. And those are the ones that we included in our study. And they include the reduction in pesticide and antimicrobial use by 50%. Fertilizer used by 20%, and reducing land used in agriculture by 10%.
Well, that leads right into the study that I wanted to touch on, Jason. Go ahead and talk to us about what this report is and why it was done.
Yes, so this report is basically done to inform farmers and policymakers about potential implications of the farm-to-fork strategies. So we just really wanted to provide some information about the potential market impacts from the study. So we look at changes in production, prices, trade, food prices, food insecurity. And you know, we just wanted to help inform the policy discussion.
Very good, Jason. Well, can you talk to us a little bit about the results of the study and what that means?
Sure. So in short, the results of the study indicate that by reducing these agricultural inputs, the EU would have a reduction in their agricultural production, and they would reduce its competitiveness in domestic and export markets. And if the plan were adopted beyond the EU, those impacts would also expand with effects on global welfare and food insecurity. So what we do in the study is we have three scenarios. The first scenario says, what happens if the EU is the only region that adopts these input reductions? A second scenario says, what happens if some of their trading partners who depend on the EU as a destination for their exports also adopt the strategies? And then we had a third scenario that says, what happens if all countries in the world adopted these input reductions? And so if the degree of impacts on the EU, on the US, and globally vary depending on who exactly is adopting the strategies. So for the EU, the decline in agricultural production would range from 7 to 12%. If everyone in the world adopted these input reductions, global agricultural production, the model estimates, would decline by 11%. And if you reduce production, as the model estimates, prices are going to go up because there's less supply and the demand is still there. So there's more competition for the products that are available. And then given that the EU is a big agricultural producer and a big trade market, if you're restricting their production, you're taking out some of the products available on the global market and trade falls, and that also pushes prices up. And so then we estimate the impacts to GDP. So if all countries in the world adopted the strategies, we estimate that global GDP would fall by $1.1 trillion. And then we take these results and look at how they would affect food insecurity in the poorest 76 countries. And we estimate that the number of food insecure people could increase between an additional 22 million people in the EU if the EU is the only region that adopts the strategies. But it could go up to 185 million people if everyone in the world adopted the strategies.
Jason, let's talk a little bit about how this might impact U.S. farmers specifically and their trade with other countries.
Sure. So our research provides estimates of the impacts to U.S. farmers. We find that if the EU were the only region to adopt the input reductions, the U.S. would have a slight increase in agricultural production, a little bit less than 0.5%, as they're basically trying to fill in that lost EU production. Prices in the U.S. would increase, and that's because the U.S. would export a little bit more to the EU. So again, you have that situation where there's less supply and more demand, so prices go up. And then we estimate the impacts to U.S. farmers if everyone adopted the strategies. So the U.S. also adopted the strategies. We find that agricultural production in the U.S. could decrease by 9%. And like the EU, U.S. grain production would be the most impacted because those are the commodities that use the fertilizer, pesticides, land, which we are now somewhat restricting.
Jason, this has been a great summary of the report and your findings. If you were to give just kind of a short summary or elevator speech on what this research has shown or, you know, the impacts of the EU farm to fork strategy, how would you summarize that briefly?
I would summarize it by saying that if you're restricting agricultural inputs, you're basically restricting how much supply they can produce. And so you see production falling because they can't use as much fertilizer and pesticides. If production goes down, prices are going to go up. Higher prices leads to higher food costs. For families, it leads to higher food insecurity globally. And trade is impacted because you have less product available to produce, you have less product to export, and so globally prices are going up.
Do you have any information on where the EU farm to fork strategy is in development? I'm not familiar. Is that in place right now, or is that just being talked about?
They brought it up. The strategy was published last May. They brought it up in their negotiations with their CAP, the Common Agricultural Policy, basically their funding for agricultural programs, and it got rejected. So at this point, it's still being talked about. It's still widely debated in the EU, but they're still searching for a path forward. So at this point, you can sort of say that it's stalled.